You guys are dismissed.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Karen. Our scripture today will be read by Sean. It's from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 6.
All right, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning.
Morning.
So I'm so thankful that all of you arrived on time. It actually felt like there were many more people here 5 or 10 minutes before service than other Sundays. Maybe we should have a spring ahead time change more often, right? But here are these words of prayer before our message. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you speak through me, that your words of the scriptures are shown, that we hear your truth in the message. For Lord, we are always your faithful sons and daughters who discern what you are telling us, who want to draw closer to you through the scriptures and the message, and who always reflect. We hope, Lord, that these reflections are acceptable in your sight, for you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So I continue a sermon series based on the Beatitudes that are found in the book of Matthew. Again, I encourage you, when you're able sometime during the week, to see the different Beatitudes as they are printed in your worship bulletin. And this morning we are looking at the Beatitude of "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." One thing we need to understand in the book of Matthew is the intent of the author. In the book of Matthew, he is trying to appeal to the Jewish people, the fellow people of Jesus' time. They say that the author of Matthew himself was probably an apostle who was close, one of the key disciples working with Jesus. So it makes sense then what he wrote was an appeal to his fellow brothers and sisters to tell of Jesus' teaching. But this author did a most smart thing. He referred often throughout the book of Matthew to Old Testament scriptures. They say that of the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew uses actual quotes from the Old Testament the most. Nearly 50 direct quotes are found in Matthew from the Old Testament. And also that the author of Matthew has different illustrations of things that are found from Old Testament Hebrew Bible. They say there are about 75 illustrations. So even in the Beatitudes that we see, especially in this morning's Beatitude of "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled," there is a reminder of what was happening in the Old Testament, of the history that the Jewish people had. We see in this morning's passage, Jesus is continuing to go on with his Beatitudes that he is giving on the Sermon on the Mount. And when he comes to the point of saying, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied," there is an important thing to think about when you think about being thirsty and hungry for righteousness. Jesus is reminding the people of the time, the Hebrew time that people went through. We know that the ancestors of the Jewish people, they dealt with so much. The early ancestors themselves were the Israelites who were brought out of slavery. We know that the Israelites were a whole congregation. We learn in Exodus 6, verse 1 to 3. They've escaped the slavery through the help of Moses, a messenger, a prophet for God who was sent to free the people. And after they've been out of slavery for just a few days, they say maybe about 70 days, about 2.5 months, the people are hungry, they are thirsty, they are lost, they no longer have home or shelter that they had before as slaves in Egypt. So we see in a passage from Exodus verse 13 that they actually begin to complain to Moses about what their current life is about. It says in that passage that the whole congregation of Israelites, and they say that there might have been even as many as 600,000 Israelites who escaped with Moses, no longer slaves in the land of Egypt. But in this passage, it says that the whole congregation of Israelites came out of the wilderness. And on the 15th day of the second month, they had departed from the land of Egypt. And they complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we have died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness, and you are going to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Can you imagine that? Think about their lives as slaves in Egypt. They were under the Egyptian control. They were made slaves to work hard each day. Yes, they might have been fed, but probably scraps or little food because they were slaves. They had no freedom. They had no choice in what they did. They were in constant bondage. Their cries were shouted to the Lord to save them, and the Lord did provide, and the Lord did save them, sending Moses to speak to the Pharaoh, sending the plagues to change the Pharaoh's mind, and even helping them once they did escape to cross the Red Sea. But yet, after all this, after God saved them from their horrible life as slaves in Egypt, they then begin to complain because they are physically hungry. They are weak, and yes, they are thirsty because they have been wandering for many, many days in the wilderness. So we see at this time that they are daring to complain to Moses and Aaron about what is happening. They are complaining so much that they are saying, you know, our previous lives as slaves in Egypt next to the flesh pots were even better than this. Because there we were fed, and now we are going to die in the wilderness. The faith that the Israelites had after God had saved them lacked conviction. They no longer thirst for righteousness and wanted hunger for righteousness, a freedom. They no longer had the conviction that God would save them. They were fearing that they would die in the wilderness. When Jesus is saying, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," he is telling the people that you must have a conviction. Be hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness, that God will save you. God's righteousness is saving grace. God's righteousness will make your life better. God's righteousness will take you out of bad situations and deliver you to safety. But these people then, they lacked that conviction. And Jesus is reminding the people who have been following him and listening to him that you yourselves are lacking the conviction that your own ancestors had. Jesus is saying they must thirst and hunger for righteousness to have the conviction that God will save them. Now, when you think about the word conviction, what does it mean? It means having unshakable faith. It means standing strong and firm in your belief. It means believing in something so much that you are even probably willing to sacrifice. I have a kind of funny story about the idea of conviction. I call it the conviction of the ice cream sandwich. A few years ago, my family and I, we went to Vietnam, and it was hot in the summer. If you've ever been to East Asia, it's very humid in the summer. And as we were visiting my cousin's home, we were on the second floor, and I was looking out onto the street. And I saw this man go by with a freezer cart, and then some people gathered around the cart. He opened the cart and took out a block of ice cream, and then he also took out what looked like white bread. You know, like Wonder white bread slices? And he put on that one slice of white bread, he cut a slice off of that block of ice cream, and put it on the bread, folded it up so it was like a sandwich, and sold it to the people. I thought, what is this? I've never seen an ice cream sandwich made with just plain white bread, and I wanted to have that. But by the time I'd run downstairs, the cart was gone, and I tried to convince my dad's cousins whose home we were at, where is this cart? Where can I buy this special ice cream sandwich? And the owner of the house said, no, I've never seen that. That's not in our neighborhood. You're making this up. You must have been imagining something. Maybe he was selling a popsicle or just regular ice cream. And I was so convicted that I had seen this special ice cream sandwich that the rest of our trip in Vietnam, my poor family had to deal with me always asking, do they have it here? Do they have it here? We'd go to the hotel and I'd ask the hotel workers. We'd go through shops and I'd keep looking for it. My poor family suffered the rest of our trip. We never did find that ice cream sandwich. But my sister, who went on to Singapore, my parents and I went home back to the U.S., but my sister went on to Singapore, They, in Singapore, have these ice cream sandwiches. They're actually sold in shops. So my sister with her friend went into one of these shops and took a photo of it and sent it to the family, to myself. And I said, aha, I was right. My conviction of the ice cream sandwich was so true. I never let that conviction go, and I finally received proof because I believed in what I'd seen so much. You must have strong conviction, whether it is for a simple, silly thing like an ice cream sandwich, but mostly you must have strong conviction in God, that God will deliver you, that God will give you righteousness. And Jesus was seeing that the people of his time, they were losing that conviction. They were no longer thirsting for righteousness that would deliver them from their horrible lifestyles or the sins that they had committed or the problems in their life. They were losing conviction in God. So when Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied, Jesus is reminding the people of the importance that they must truly believe in God, that God will save them, that God will take them out of the bondage. And yes, they were not in slavery bondage as their ancestors were, but they were in a different kind of bondage. Their lives were filled with greed, with lust, with sins, with doing neighbor wrong. Their lives were not right. Their lives were not ready for God's kingdom on earth or being eternal life with God. So Jesus is telling them that they must thirst for righteousness and seek God to be satisfied. In our own lives today, sometimes we find ourselves in a form of bondage, in a trap of always competing, repeating the same mistakes over and over again, in a life where we put money or work or home or things that are materialistic before God. You know, I often ask, do you pray daily? And some people answer yes, which is wonderful, and some people answer no. And then I ask a friend, oh, well then, if you don't pray daily, do you look at internet or Facebook daily? And they always answer, yes, yes, I do. There is something wrong in that when we are not convicted and believing in God and turning to God daily. We must remember that we must thirst for righteousness, to know that God will save us and take us out of our bad patterns or problems that we have in life, even when we are sick or wondering what is happening. I know Winston Wong has shared with us prayers for his son-in-law and what his son-in-law is struggling and dealing with. And his son-in-law had a situation recently where in his cancer treatments he was told he had two options. One option was to treat the cancer, the brain tumor that had been left in his brain. We know we prayed for him, and thankfully they say about 40% of the tumor had been removed, but another 60% remained. And the options to treat that remaining 60%, one was the more traditional way. It was the more aggressive way to treat cancer, and there might be side effects or he might have diminished brain capacity or ability. And the other way was a newer way, a higher technology, using lasers that was less harmful to the brain area and would also be able to help him keep more brain capacity and lose less knowledge. And of course, you would then want the newer way, the less invasive way, the way that would help him ensure he could continue as his work as an engineer for NASA. But the unfortunate thing was the health insurance said that that newer way was not approved. They were saying it was still in the testing phase. They were saying it was not necessary when the other cheaper way was offered. So I know that Winston has asked for prayers for his son-in-law and the family as they are dealing with that. But all through this time, his son-in-law has had amazing faith. His son-in-law also is a Christian, a devoted disciple, a believer in God, and his son-in-law has a close relationship with his own pastor in Texas. So he's always kept that faith up because he knew that no matter which option of surgery his insurance company would finally approve, whether it's the older way that would cause sometimes more pain or help have him lose some brain capacity, or the newer way that was less invasive and help him keep some of his brain knowledge, whichever way was approved, that God would see him through. God would cure his cancer. God will always be with them. I admire this conviction that Winston's son-in-law had. So we do keep him in our prayers. We must have that kind of conviction to know that we must thirst and hunger for righteousness. And we've all, I think, at least once in our life, probably been physically hungry. Do you remember what feelings you have when you're thirsty or physically hungry? Your mouth might be dry if you're thirsty. If you're hungry, your stomach might hurt. You might feel weak. You might make bad decisions. Something happens to you when you are physically hungry or thirsty. And then when you experience those things, you know what will satisfy those things. It will be food. When we are spiritually and when we are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, we also know what will satisfy us. It is not food, but it is Jesus, the bread of life who God gives us. And Jesus is telling the people that they must continue to be hungry and to thirst for righteousness, to have the conviction that God will take them out of the bad times. But they must have conviction, belief that it is God who will save them. And when they do have that, then, yes, then they will be satisfied. So when Jesus says, blessed are those who hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied, he's not saying, of course, to be physically hungry or physically thirsty, but to be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness of God, to seek God, to have that conviction that God will deliver them from slavery and they will be satisfied. Let us pray. Lord, we hear this morning in this short message a reminder from Jesus as he spoke the Beatitudes to the people, telling the people to be hungry and thirst for righteousness, a seeking for God in the conviction that they have, to seek God and to hunger for God in a relationship they have with God, that God will be the one that will deliver them out of what they are experiencing, out of the bondage that they are experiencing, out of the sins that they have commit, and to be satisfied at God's side with eternal life. For Lord, we ask that you also help us in our own lives to seek and be thirsty and hungry for you, to have the strong conviction that even though others may tell us it is not true, that you, yes, are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer, and that, yes, through you all things are possible, that you will save us from our own sins, that you will save us from the badness of this world, and that you will continue to deliver us out of bondage and into freedom by your side with eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eva. Let us respond with our offering. May I have the ushers come forward, please? Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. His steadfast love in Christ endures forever. We thank you, God, for the many blessings and gifts you have provided us. Let us do the loving good works of giving our gifts back to you. As we bring our gifts of thanksgiving before you, we pray over it and ask that it will bring glory to you and your kingdom. In your Son's name, amen. Please be seated. I'd like to turn your attention to the right-hand side of the bulletin for announcements. Just want to highlight a couple. The SPRC and Chinese COM will meet next Sunday at 1 o'clock. We have a youth meeting later today, and thank you for the college and young adults for providing the lesson and the meal. Fishermen's Group will also meet this Saturday at 7:30 at Philippe's. Are there any other additional announcements from the floor?
Possibly on the last Sunday of March, I would hope to have a few church members share during the message time. I'm really excited that Phil's dissertation defense date has been set. So we want to pray for him as he is preparing for that. If you know when you go through your PhD paper, you spend all this time writing and researching, and when you complete your paper and submit it, if it looks good, that draft, you have a dissertation defense date. So his dissertation defense date is set for March 22nd, and I would like to go up to Berkeley to be with him, to support him, be nervous for him, and also just hopefully celebrate that his defense paper was passed. So it just means I will be away from church from Wednesday to possibly Friday or Saturday. So I was hoping to have church members share a message on Sunday. I will be here, but think about if you'd like to share a faith testimony or if you'd like to talk about one of the Beatitudes, just let me know and maybe we could work something out for two or three members to share on the last Sunday of the month. It's also Palm Sunday, so it'll be a joyful celebration as well. Thank you.
One last announcement I missed. LA Marathon is next Sunday, so as Pastor Eva mentioned, please allow extra time in case of closures. Okay. If not, if there are no more announcements, we'll close with our closing hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Please stand, as you are able.